Hello and welcome again to another edition of Cannabis Corner. I'm Rick.
And I'm Jeanette.
And we are joined by Will. And Will is from Back Home Cannabis in High Falls, New York. Hi, Will.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Jeanette. This is awesome. Thanks for making it down to the farm today.
Well, it's great to be here. We're actually in front of a greenhouse doing this broadcast, and we're surrounded by 600 beautiful plants that smell better than roses. Jeanette, do you have anything to say about these beautiful ladies?
I know that these ladies are beautiful heritage strains just waiting for us from Back Home Cannabis, and I can't wait.
Now, heritage strains, I know that you have a couple of really old school ones, like Maui Wowie, Panama Red.
We have not released that yet, but we are growing it. Yeah, it's coming.
Northern Lights,
Jack Herrera, Gorilla Glue, White Widow.
Now, do you have any contemporary flavors?
We do, but we have a different brand for that one, and that's called Milkweed. And that is, we like to call it exotic strains, and those are more new crosses from stuff back in the day that has now been crossed so many times, it's something new.
So the new strains, what makes them exotic?
Well, so what happens over time is when you do a pheno hunt, you would plant 600 seeds out, and then so you would have 600 plants, smell each one, and you're like, oh, this plant smells a little banana-y for some reason, or this one smells a little Tropicana or fruity for some reason. Then you pick that plant out of the bunch, breed that one, do another round of 600, find the cherry or the Tropicana one, and then you would go on so and so forth for 7 life cycles until you stabilize that cherry genetic or whatever you were looking for. So it's selective breeding over time has brought high THC strains to the market, high yielders, different terpenes that we all know and love, and that's kind of the science behind cannabis.
Did you go back? How did you find the seeds for these plants?
A lot of these were handed down from friends of mine. I've been, as a lot of you guys know, I own and operate Back Home Farm in High Falls, and we have been growing all sorts of plants for 10 years now. We also grow over 128 varieties of vegetables, organic vegetables, and over my years and travels, I moved here from Asheville, North Carolina. I collected a couple of my favorites, and they've morphed over the years. That said, there is a big thing called genetic drift. So the Northern Lights you smoked, Rick, back in the day getting out of high school is probably a little different from the Northern Lights now, because genetics don't stay decade over decade over decade, but our main goal is to try to preserve the feeling, that moment of wildness and freedom that we all experience.
So you can actually grow a strain and then grow out of it?
Yes.
It'll be gone?
Totally. Wow. Absolutely. Genetic drift is something they don't talk about that much in the market, but, you know, the only constant in this world is change, and that goes the same for the seeds and the plants.
Is growing cannabis from seed to final product a profitable event?
What a great question. It depends what state you're in. It depends how you operate your business. One of the reasons I got into cannabis, other than the love of the plant, was because I believed that I was a strong grow operator with all the vegetable experience. So, you know, I understand how greenhouses work. I understand how light distribution works. I understand how air distribution works. I understand climate. And really, when you get down to it, the most important part of the whole growing experience is the climate that the plant's being grown in.
Really important for farming in general.
Yeah.
Whatever the plant is.
Not only farming, though, the climate of the market, the relationships, what is this?
Is that why you chose
climate?
High Falls, this beautiful place that we're in?
Jack Schoonmaker, if you know him, he's a legendary farmer down in Accord. I was writing letters to everyone when I moved up here trying to find land, and Jack Schoonmaker answered my letter, and he was like, oh, I think I know a place for you, and that's how we got into High Falls here.
Amazing.
This
so
was
you
the
didn't
original
actually
Boyce
hunt it
dairy
down.
Farm here. Yeah, I didn't actually, I didn't really hunt this down. I wrote a letter. Actually, my ex-girlfriend wrote a letter. Shout out, Joe. We landed here.
This used to be the Boyce Dairy Farm?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So there were cows here before the
plants.
There
was cows
the
here
plants.
50 years ago. Then it moved up north, and this was abandoned for 20 years. And we came thrill.
That's wow. Yeah, the land is so fertile and it's so great. Everything you're growing on it is so wonderful.
Totally.
Your wonderful farming skills shows through in everything that you put out.
Thanks, Jeanette. I appreciate that. We really take no days off here. I mean, I when we rolled onto this land, I pulled up here in an RV, and that was 9 years ago, and have basically not left for 9 years, and just grew this place out. They always say a tip for farmers is grow your farm. Don't buy your farm. So you start with, and with a seed too, it's like you slowly add on month over month, year over year. You never, here's $10 million and buy the whole place, because it gets, it disrupts the pattern of nature, the natural pattern of nature.
When you arrive at Back Home Farms for your day, what do you do to start your day?
So I wake up at 7:30 in the morning in the farmhouse over there. Normally the dog's licking me in the face, which is a lovely way to wake up. And then we have 50 employees here, so my role has changed from normally what I did 5 years ago was go out and start harvesting carrots or something like that. Now I run through all of our managers and see, really, I'm dialed in efficiencies, because it brings back to that question, do you make money? Is it profitable?
Do you see then yourself growing as a business and as a farm?
Do you think you'll expand? I don't, not to get into revenue numbers, but we've grown like 4,000% in the last three years. Yes.
Profit? Yes.
Yeah.
Killing it. He's killing it.
I'm actually kind of looking for like, not a plateau, like a healthy 5% year over year growth, and slowly organize our clients or work with people who I know and love versus, you know, trying to be a used car salesman out there or something like that. Create the community.
Yeah, you'll be able to maybe even pick and choose what stores you want to be in, and you can help curate those menus that you're on rather than just being in every store.
Yep, 100%. And that was a big part of our small canopy size tiers is we don't want to be in every store. We want to be in stores that our brand aligns with. We're really lucky in that.
This is Cannabis Corner. I'm Rick.
And I'm Jeanette.
I think maybe we're going to chat with some...
Trimmers.
Trimmers.
Trimmers, Packers. Let's see what's going on in there. Yeah. I heard there's a birthday party,
All right,
it may be
cool.
fun.